This production is affiliated with SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
Catholic vitamins. Vitamin C. Cobble. Cobble?
Yes, dear, yes.
What's that mean?
Cobble means to assemble or put something together from available parts or elements.
Oh.
The mayor cobbled together a budget, which is what our government is doing. It doesn't even
cobble. We're going to cobble together a podcast.
We are, because we have a couple different things that we don't have a featured guest this time. We have a segment from Sonia Corbett, and we have a segment from Patty Mansfield, a wonderful evangelist, a Catholic charismatic woman, and we'll get into all of that on this show.
Well, this is episode 173, so I guess we're going to cobble.
Welcome to Catholic Vitamins, your dose of spiritual supplements from A to Z. Catholic Vitamins, specially formulated to help you achieve optimum spiritual health. It's time to energize your faith, forget what lies behind, and press on toward the goal.
We've already won.
Here are your hosts for Catholic Vitamins, Deacon Tom Fox and his lovely wife, Dee.
Well, here we are again. Dee, you're acting a little sleepy. What's the matter?
I don't know. I feel like I want a nap.
Well, you need to take some Catholic vitamins. Vitamin C.
I slipped up. I forgot.
Well, we're back from Missouri, everyone. Glad to be with you. Glad to be out of the car, although you and I seem to like excuse my voice. You and I seem to like traveling, enjoy getting out and visiting.
We do. We just had breakfast with a couple this morning. He said, I really like that system you have of switching off driving. He said, it doesn't work in on our trips. He says, I do all the driving.
He said they did a 7,000-mile trip and his wife drove 83 miles. Oh, my.
Gosh, we stop every 2 hours and switch drivers and let the dog out.
Mm-hmm.
You have to get your refreshing
coffee.
Cup of coffee.
Yep. Well, we were in Missouri visiting our daughter, Mary, God bless her, and our grandchildren, Holden and Carlin. And we had a good visit babysitting them while Mary was on a business trip.
We did. Carlin's part of a little cheerleading team.
Yes, she is.
Squad. Little kids, like 7, 8, 9 years old, and they did a little performance at a halftime high school game last Friday night. It was kind of cute.
Can I interrupt you for a minute?
What?
Have you ever seen a commercial on TV for the Shirley Temple movies? You could buy,
yes,
like a DVD with a whole bunch of her movies on it?
Yes.
That's in a way what Carla reminds me of. She's perky and outgoing, and she loves to dance, and she can be a hoot sometimes.
It took a while for her to find her niche. Sports didn't seem to work for her. She likes gymnastics. She's doing mm-hmm. that, and this little cheerleading thing. She's doing that. So I got to see her performance. We got there just barely on time, and I jumped out of the car and ran in. I got to see it. You didn't. You were still trying to find a parking place.
It was terrible. Just terrible.
And then after that, we went to our grandson's basketball game. That was great.
Exciting.
They really just wiped out the other team.
Mm-hmm.
It was fun to watch them win. And it's also fun to see how much improvement these boys have made over the years.
How old is Holden? About?
He's almost 10.
Is he?
And we've been watching him and most of these other kids on his team play since they were like 5 years old.
When you watch five-year-olds play, for example, soccer,
mm-hmm.
they just all run around and it doesn't make any sense almost.
And then at the end of our stay, we went to see a soccer game that he was in, and they won that one too.
Yeah, against an all-girls team. That was the first time I've ever seen that.
Yeah, that was strange. Even their mom said she didn't know who planned that or why they planned that, boys against girls.
Well, we were in Missouri, and after we dropped the kids, or I should say got the kids out to school on the first day of babysitting, we went to the mall, Dee.
Yeah. Why were we going to the mall? Just to bum around, I think.
Well, I think I had something on my mind, but I can't remember right now what it was. But we went
We also said you wanted to go by the Sprint. kiosk and talk to them.
Yes, yeah. I have had a phone for 3, maybe even 4 years, and the back was falling off of it.
You've been griping about that phone, so I think you were going to go just talk to them.
So what happened, in a short way of explaining it, is that we happened to get the store manager, and we wound up canceling the phone that I have and the one that you have that has a crank on the side of it. You have a phone.
I have gotten such teasing because I have just been really slow dragging my feet to get into this modern age.
Well, you got a iPhone and I got an iPhone, and we got a new black box that will put us using wireless at home once that gets activated. But our new iPhones are going, dear. How do you like yours?
I love it.
Oh, gosh. You've been using the heck out of it, for sure.
It's a new toy.
Yeah, right. Well, we've got a wonderful show concept planned for today. And this came about because of our travels and because we think of illness that, for someone that we had previously made arrangements to interview. We're going to cobble together a couple different things of inspiration on the show. And you can cobble together inspiration through conversion stories, through adoration, through different Catholic faith practices during Lent. And I'm posting on Twitter every day, God willing, #40, the number 40, to do's for 40 days. And every day there'll be a different little item or suggestion for Lenten practice. And they don't all involve chocolate or alcohol or movies or television. So you might take a look for that if you use Twitter. Dear, one of the people that always gets the Catholic vitamin idea, the concept, I mean, they all do, but one of the ones that does it frequently is Mariana. So let's bring her up to begin our show.
This is journalist Mariana Bartholomew with the Missionary Moment. A couple days before New Year's, my husband and I went out for a Shire breakfast. Denny's was featuring a menu with dishes spun off The Hobbit, the newly released movie based on J.R.R. Tolkien's classic tale. Saturday breakfast, Bartholomew style, means heading out into pre-daylight. After 23 years of marriage, my husband has converted me. It's either roll out of bed around 5:30 in the morning and venture forth into that bleary-eyed world, or lose that breakfast connection with him. On this particular day, we hid in a corner booth. The waitress chatted with us about Shire selections and our favorite Tolkien scenes from his novel as she plied us with coffee. Continuing the epic flair of our conversation as we tucked away pumpkin pancakes and Shire sausage, we discussed New Year's resolutions. At one point, my husband Ed said, "There's no reason why you can't go to daily Mass." With his work downtown and needing to catch an early train, Ed hasn't chosen this option, but he challenged me. "But every time I try to do that, I get sick," I protested. After about 1 week adding Mass to an already tight schedule, I usually find myself battling sore throats, sinus infections, etc. "Well," he countered, "maybe it's time you tried again." After breakfast, we headed to Home Depot, a peaceful destination at that hour and season. We rambled along together until Ed got caught in the mousetrap aisle. An amazing end-of-season sale drew me to houseplants. One tropical plant as tall as my waist beckoned. The price was ridiculously low. Amidst our winter's deep freeze, wouldn't some jungle-like foliage be welcome? Also, it would nicely remind me of a couple of new missionary connections in India. I told the story of these connections in last week's Missionary Moment. In any case, the plant needed a larger pot, threatening to make the whole project too expensive. I lined up several plants in the aisle, several pots, crossed my arms, frowned. A middle-aged woman in the orange Home Depot apron popped around the corner. "Can I help?" She joined my search, shuffling pots, checking price tags, climbing on all fours into the back of deep shelving units. She finally found a great deal. "I'll pot your plant for you," she offered. "Free?" "Absolutely." Thus began a lengthy process of emptying 3 new bags of soil into the pot, loosening my plant's root ball, and positioning it absolutely straight and centered, a task she approached like an interior decorator hanging wallpaper. There are master chefs and master painters. I was watching a master planter. She poured in several bags of soil, costing $6 to $7 each. and tapped the pot gently onto the floor to disperse the soil gently around the root ball. She repeated the process once, twice, then again. She opened a $6 bag of sphagnum moss. I wondered how Home Depot was making money on this deal. You're potting this for free, right? Oh, yes. The result? I think our new umbrella plant looks great. Over these past weeks, I've often thought about that Home Depot lady. She was professional but warm. She cheerfully crawled around the floor and dug in dirt to make customers happy. She treated that plant like her own. I hope I treat others with such care and dignity. I wouldn't have gotten the plant without her help, and it has become a nice reminder of a number of things. The impact of treating people well, the gift of cross-continental friendship, and a reminder of a significant morning. You see, that Shire breakfast started me off in a new direction. The New Year's resolution conversation was a watershed, launching me off like Tolkien's Frodo on a quest, walking to and attending daily Mass each morning. How have I been doing? Through January, I attended Mass every Sunday and weekday, taking off Saturdays to recover. Hooray! Now this brisk early morning walk to Mass is so embedded in my daily schedule, I feel off keel on Saturdays when I miss the opportunity. But I can't get cocky. February hit and I felt my energy dip as I rolled out of bed just 20 minutes before departure. A few days ago I started feeling under the weather, fighting off chills just in time for Lent. But I'm determined. I was healthy for 6 weeks of daily Mass attendance and feeling great as I shuffled through snow to make that 6:15 a.m. appointment with God. I'm recognizing people in the pews and giving my own version of the papal wave as we all wish each other peace. Keeping in the flow of the liturgical year is so beautiful. Noting daily saints and reflecting on the readings being offered in every Catholic church worldwide. But most importantly, receiving the daily Eucharist changes the whole focus of the day. No, I can't let illness deter me. As for Lenten resolutions besides daily Mass, I may be choosing too many. I've added prayers to my routine over the past month, becoming better friends with Saints Raphael and Jude and the Blessed Mother through her 54-day rosary novena. I'd like to continue these prayers, go off desserts, and give up clutter in my house. And one more. As I go about my days, may I lavish others with the consideration and joy of a master planter.
Well, there you have it. A woman who cobbled together a number of things to put together a beautiful little reflection for Catholic Vitamins. Mariana told us that this is adapted from a new blog about New Year's and Lenten resolutions. She does a blog. You'll find it at finerfields.blogspot.com. And the prayers that she mentioned to St. Raphael and to St. Jude are at the bottom of the blog entry for this topic. So thank you, Mariana, once again for your wonderful contributions to Catholic Vitamins over time. What, a year and a half now, I guess, and more. Well, speaking of contributions to Catholic Vitamins, several weeks ago we had Sonia Corbett on our show as a guest. She's a Catholic author and a speaker on the Scriptures, and we've had so much feedback, so much comment about her visit. She has a vivid speaking style and a gripping Bible study approach, which she shares locally, and she actually tours to conferences, excuse my voice, and she's sought after as a speaker in the Catholic community. And this is an introduction to her work, which we have asked to borrow from her website. Her website is pursuingthesummit.com, and we're blessed that we're going to be able to share some Sonia Corbett over time. And here from her website is an introduction to the work that Sonia does.
I teach the Bible because people are hungry to hear God speak and to feel His touch. And so often that longing gets squashed by daily life, hurry and noise and the grind and exhaustion. And so my call within a call, as Mother Teresa put it, is really to create a place of encounter for people in the Scriptures. And the Bible says that faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word, the Scriptures, and it talks about the prophet Jeremiah having a fire in his mouth, that the Scriptures are a fire in his mouth. And And that's how I feel. I feel like the message just burns in me, and that I have to share with people how desperately God wants to give them that satisfaction and that peace and that purpose that they're searching for. You have to be silent. You just have to be silent with God to hear Him. You can't have the radio on all the time. You can't have the TV on all the time. You just have to carve out niches in your daily life where you can just sit and read the scriptures and be with God and open yourself to Him and His voice. What inspires my teaching and writing is the Holy Spirit through two things. First of all, through prayer. Prayer is the catching force of what I do. It is the sap. It is what makes all of our labors fruitful. And if He doesn't have a welcome place, if our souls are not habitable by His Spirit, then He is limited in what He can do both in and through us, but also obedience, both to Him and to Him through the church. Pope Benedict said recently that leading men and women to God, to the God who speaks in the Bible, is the supreme and fundamental priority of the Chair Peter at this time. And right after that, he called a synod on the scriptures, and the bishops talked about ways to encourage spiritual renewal through the scriptures. So I feel called for such a time as this. I feel like God is about spiritual renewal right now in the church through the scriptures specifically, and that is what I'm called to do. And I feel like I'm in the flow of what He's doing already in the church and in the whole world. Pleading with them to come in. And instead, they just sit down. Besides motherhood and being a wife, the greatest privilege of my life is watching God work through people. When I speak to groups or I teach a study, I can see Him quickening in their face. Their eyes light up. I can see the light bulbs go off. I can see that He is changing something in them. And it grips me, it thrills me, because I know that they are experiencing what I have experienced. I know that He is alive and working, not only through me and in me, but in them. The Word of God is really my favorite thing. Wherever He's found, in the scriptures, in the sacraments, in the church, in distressing disguise, as Mother Teresa put it, He is the longing of my soul and my life, and He is what I am oriented to. He draws me, and through the scriptures, the Bible is alive to me. It has hands, it grips me, it has a voice. I hear Him through it, and so I am drawn to Him through the scriptures and through prayer, and I just want to share that with other people. He is my favorite thing. Typical Catholic studies are usually expositional studies, and that just means that they explain whole books of the Bible or whole testaments even. And that is a lengthy process. It's worthy study. I do that. You know, that's how I learn. People are intimidated by that kind of study because it does take a long time. And so my approach is different in the way that I speak about issues that are, first of all, obviously relevant to a person's contemporary life and their circumstances, the things that are going on in the world, but also in brief little encounters. I try very hard to make the scriptures applicable to people's lives so that they understand, You know, why is this book so amazing? Why does God use it to change us? And how does he do that? I try to create the space where God can speak, but I don't want to limit him. So I don't lead the participant to the answer like some studies do. I just ask the question and leave it very open-ended. And that makes people really have to dig in there themselves and struggle with God. You know, what's the answer here? And that creates the space for God to speak. And that is what changes people. My studies also include DVD sessions for each of the lessons. The DVDs help break the ice. They include extra information that is not in the study, but it also gives participants a real window into my own struggles. And they show people that real life is sweaty and it's hard, and God works through that, and he longs to, and he wants us to open ourselves to him. And the DVDs help people see that and understand that in a way that just a written Bible study can't do. My motivation is knowing that as I am faithful to proclaim him and his word, that he is faithful to change people. And I know by faith that I'm making disciples who will be with him forever. And that is really, it's why I do all of it.
Dee, do you hear the emotion in Sonia? She's just such a powerful gift to people who are walking in the Catholic faith. And wherever he is found, speaking of the Lord God, in the sacraments, the scriptures, or distressing disguise, the word of God is Sonia's favorite thing. And I just love the emotion that she had at the end of her first share on Catholic vitamins like this, and we hope to have her again.
I hope it's the first of many.
Yeah, I do too.
I got a little piece of feedback here from Ebeth.
Is that the North Carolina?
The North Carolina, Ebeth.
I did.
She's going to hate us for this. We got to stop this. Anyhow, I thought it was kind of neat. She gave us a plug as well as a few other people plugs. She said, the call of Lent is to intensify our faith and devotion to our Lord. And she put this on Facebook. Don't just give up food. To do something to feed your faith. Read a spiritual book. Listen to spiritual podcasts like Catholic Vitamins.
Oh, Eva, thank you.
With Deacon Tom and Dee. Or Pat Gones. Among Women podcast.
Yes, I love it.
Read amazing blogs like Allison, I'm not sure about that last name, Jerome's Totus Tuus blog. I'm making some suggestions for your Lenten journey.
Thank you. And
we also heard from somebody named Eric who wrote in and said, that is a very clever using Catholic Vitamins, great post. And he was responding to Vitamin P for Pride.
Oh. Speaking of Facebook messages, you know, Dee, we know of one listener in Italy, Joe Capolella, who is in Pescia, and yesterday was her birthday. And so
Let me guess.
What?
You sent her a message and said, did you get the roses I sent you? Deacon Tom's favorite line, everybody.
And come on, don't be a squealer, Dee. So she says, thank you for the birthday greeting. In Italian, we say that it's the thought that counts. So if you thought about the roses, it's the same as done. Thank you. And then, because I asked her if she was 25, she suggested that I got the numbers all mixed up. And a very nice thing that she said at the closing of her Facebook message. With the exception of one thing, there's nothing in my life I'd like to change. What a wonderful thing.
That's a great thing to say.
I would have loved to have met and have included Christ in my life many years before I did. Bless you. Belated happy birthday, Joe. And we are so glad to have someone in Italy listening to Catholic Vitamins. And speaking of listening, let's listen to our good friend, Justin Stroh.
Duke in Ultimum. God hears us when we are maltreated, and he sees our toil and our oppression. And with a strong hand, he reaches out, and this terrifies the enemy. And and causes respect in us. And it runs through our veins. Why and for what? Like a streak of a meteorite falling from the sky causes a sense of respect for that which is unknown. He leads us into the land where we are able to bring him the first fruits of our labor, so that our focus isn't on the labor alone, but when that meteorite went through the sky in Russia, people looked up and wondered what was beyond it. And so we look up and wonder what is beyond everything. And we want to set before God, who is above everything, everything we've done, everything, and worship him in this way. And this is a land that he wants to bring us into, a land where we can be faithful to him with a clear conscience. This is why the sacrament of confession is utterly important to the Christian. I don't care if you're not Catholic. You need the sacrament of reconciliation, because the Lord our God has configured us in such a way where we need to be able to say and confess out loud and know that ears actually hear it, and then hear the words that you are absolved of your sins. We all need this. Yet we are afraid of it because we are afraid of our sins. We're afraid of saying them out loud. And through this, we experience a slavery to the sin, a slavery to the shame. But through confession, we are set free by the Savior who saves us from the sin, who sets us free from the slavery of sin. He is with us in our trouble. He is our shelter. He is our refuge. He has set an angel to guard us. He warns us before we fall in the pit, and when we fall in the pit, he pulls us out of the pit. What a Savior this is. So we are called to acknowledge his name in distress, whether that distress is before we fall in or when we fall in. And the word is near to us when we proclaim the word of God, scriptural, and the word that comes to us in the spirit, and the word of God in the flesh, Jesus himself. So we confess his name in all of our daily activity and come to know him through reconciliation. Now every man who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Doesn't matter what he's done or where he's going or what he's planning on doing. If he just simply stops, calls upon the name of the Lord will come to him and reveal to him the truth of his actions, the truth of the good and the truth of the bad, the truth of why he chose the good and the truth of why he chose the bad. And he will be then led by the Spirit, like Jesus is led by the Spirit into the desert. And after Jesus comes out of the desert, he's hungry. See, the Lord is a divine person. And in his divinity, he has taken up a human nature. And in his human nature, he was tempted by Satan, who came to him after this period of time in the desert. And he tempted him in the senses, and he tempted him with power, and he tempted him with manipulation of God. But what did Jesus do? He trusted in his Father, and he quoted the sacred scriptures of the Hebrews, and he recognized that his Father was truly his Father in all of this. And so we call upon the name of this Lord, of this Savior, Jesus Christ, who is a true Savior, who has passed the test, who has shown us the way, for he is the way, he is the Master. Now think about all of this in the context of the resignation of Pope Benedict XVI, who willingly laid down power, who was not attracted to the central experience of the regality of the Petrine ministry, and is not willing to use that ministry to manipulate another, but sees it as an office established by the person, this divine person of Jesus Christ, as a ministry that belongs to Jesus, the chief shepherd. And so Pope Benedict XVI is a model for us of how to lay down what we often think belongs to us, but in actuality doesn't. For when we are led by the Spirit, we desire to be attached to only one, and that one is God.
Proclaim Jesus Christ, the eternal Son of God.
Thank you, Justin, for another This New Evangelization podcast segment for Catholic Vitamins. And thank you for sharing about Holy Father Benedict. We'll have another set of thoughts from Fergal O'Neill in a couple moments as he thinks about and shares a reflection on the departing pontiff. Well, we are into our show, Vitamin C for Cobble, and I was suggesting that there are different ways to cobble improvements in our faith walk. And one of the people that I've met at Franciscan University is a wonderful woman named Patty Mansfield. Patty Gallagher Mansfield was a participant in the original February 1967 Duquesne weekend, which marked the beginning of the charismatic renewal in the Catholic Church. From the earliest days of the renewal, she has served as a leader through teaching and writing and pastoral ministry. Patty's testimony has been widely published. She's been a speaker at conferences and retreats for laity and priests. And that's where I met her, was at Franciscan University when she did some talks for the priest, deacon, and seminarian conference and retreat that I try to attend each year. She's been a frequent guest on Ralph Martin's television program, The Choices We Face. And we have permission from Franciscan University to, from time to time, include some of the work of Catholic speakers at Franciscan. And so I have some cuts from Patty's talk, 10 Tips for Personal Evangelization. So combining the idea of the year of faith and this Lent, intensifying our faith, I'd like to share two of Patty Mansfield's 10 Tips for Personal Evangelization.
Number two. Start a conversation. Start a conversation. Learning the art of making conversation is a tremendously effective evangelistic tool. Now, those of us who are extroverts, by the way, I'm an extrovert. Those of us who are extroverts might seem to have a little edge here. Not necessarily. Those of us who are women, sorry, fathers and brothers, those of us who are women have a little edge here. Because in general, extroverts and women are a little more observant of situations and find it easier to reach out beyond themselves. But it's not always the case. Sometimes some people need to be reached by those of you who are introverts of a more quiet temperament. Because sometimes those of us who are kind of loud and noisy can be a bit overwhelming, you know, can kind of come on, you're nodding, you know, can kind of come on too strong. Whereas a person who is more quiet, more reserved, can be a better vehicle to reach a whole cross-section of the population. But learn to start a conversation. What does that mean? Ask questions that will help you find out, where is the Lord in this life? I like to do this when I'm on a plane. Not that I start out with that particular question, but, hi, where are you from? What kind of work do you do? Do you have a family? I usually don't ask, are you married? Because a lot of married people, if we believe the statistics, a lot of married people are no longer married, you know, those who were married. So if a person is divorced, if you ask, do you have a family, that gives them a chance to talk about their children. And if they are not mentioning a spouse, not always, but you could conclude that their spouse may not be living or they may be divorced. Someone like me who's in full-time evangelistic work has an easy entree, because usually if a person is polite after you've asked a few questions, then they turn and they ask you. Now, so I can say, well, I'm in full-time evangelistic work. But let me apply this to you. Where are you this weekend? You're at this conference. Anybody you meet in the coming week, you have an easy entree into an evangelistic conversation. What did you do last weekend? Oh, we had a picnic. Well, what about you? Entree. I attended a Catholic charismatic conference at Franciscan University. A Catholic what? Well, it's something called the charismatic renewal. Do you see where I'm going? And the more personal you can make it, the better. Starting a conversation can lead to a testimony. Number three, learn to give your personal testimony. I've written a little booklet on this called Proclaim His Marvelous Deeds, How to Give a Personal Testimony. Here would be just a little short synopsis. In every one of our lives, there's a before and an after, okay? There's a before, a BC, and an AD. There's a before and an after. Look at your life. Well, let me say this before we, you know, people divide their lives, those who are in religious life, before and after I entered. Those who are ordained, before I was ordained, after I was ordained. Those of us who are married, when I was single, after I got married. For us in New Orleans, before Katrina, after Katrina. There are big things that divide our lives in sections, aren't there? Okay? So you look at your life and you say, before I surrendered to the Lord Jesus and was baptized in the Spirit, and now fill in the blank. Some of you might say, I was a very angry and bitter person. I had a lot of resentment in my heart. Then, and you in just a sentence, can say what happened. Then I made a Life in the Spirit seminar. Then I went on a retreat. Then I attended a conference. Then I read a book. Then I listened to a whatever. Then I met this woman who. Then this man came into my store. Okay, then the encounter. And now an after. So the person with the problem with anger. I used to be such an angry, bitter person. I blamed God for all of the sorrows in my family. But once I started to attend a prayer group in my parish, and I surrendered my life to Jesus. I was baptized in the Holy Spirit after. Now I find that I'm able to forgive my parents and people in the family who have hurt me, and I have a peace that surpasses understanding. How long did that take, brothers and sisters? Almost no time. And I'm going to challenge you this weekend, because preparing your personal testimony in just a little, let me give you one. Do you know this girl, Johnny Erickson? Billy Graham did a wonderful film on her years ago. Listen to this one. She's a quadriplegic, those of you who don't know her. She was paralyzed in a diving accident. This is a one-line testimony from Johnny Erickson. Listen. I would rather be in this wheelchair knowing Christ Jesus my Lord than on my feet without him. Is that beautiful? One sentence. We have a very dear friend, Danny Abramowitz, a former NFL player and coach, and he's very committed to ministry to men. And Danny is a recovering alcoholic. He's been sober for many, many years, actually through meeting Jesus at our prayer meeting and getting baptized in the Holy Spirit through the Catholic Charismatic Renewal of New Orleans. And Danny says this. This is his kind of one-sentence, two-sentence testimony. I thank God for the disease of alcoholism because through it I came to recognize my weakness, give my life to Jesus Christ, and now I want to serve him all the days of my life. Wow. Learn to give your personal testimony. So, pray with desire. Learn the art of conversation. And you know, on conversation and giving a testimony, it's very helpful to wear a Christian symbol. You see, our priests and religious brothers and sisters have a real advantage, those of them who are in religious habit, because, wow, what a conversation starter. You know, in the early days of charismatic renewal, we used to carry these great big Jerusalem Bibles. Anybody remember those big, They were like this and this thick. And I remember when mine first came, I was so thrilled with it. And I brought it home to New Jersey on a trip, and I was sporting this. It was a heavy Bible. And when I got off the plane, my father, good Irishman, said to me, "Shh, Patty, what are you doing with a Bible like that? Put it in a paper bag if you're going to carry it around." And I said to him, "Oh, no, Daddy." I said, "It's a wonderful way to start a conversation," as you can imagine. I remember, now I have a rosary bracelet on. I remember another time being on a flight, and we were in some turbulence, and I happened to be praying the rosary. You know, don't be afraid to take your rosary out. They're not going to throw you in jail. So I'm praying the rosary, at least not yet. I'm praying the rosary, and the gentleman next to me looks down, and he sees me fingering the beads, and he said, "Fly much?" I said, "As a matter of fact, I do, but I wanted to use this moment to just pray and just seek the intercession of Our Lady." That can be a conversation starter or a stopper. I remember Al and I were on a flight once, because you can't judge too much from people's facial expressions. We were coming back from a Steubenville conference, remember that? And we were seated, it was like three seating this way and three facing. It was one of those unusual arrangements. And we were talking about all the graces of the conference, and the man across from us had the most awful scowl on his face. And I was reaching the conclusion that he didn't love God, that he was against us, that our conversation was bothering him. By the time we landed, he leaned over to us. Remember this? And he said, "Excuse me, I couldn't help but hear your conversation. Would you mind praying for me?" I think he was troubled about a son. "Would you mind praying for me? I'm very burdened about..." So you have to be careful not to read the facial expressions of a person that you're trying to reach out to and think that, oh, that person will never accept. No, sometimes there's a burden or a woundedness in that life.
Well, that inspiring lady is Patty Mansfield, a longtime fixture in Catholic charismatic movement and a great speaker. And gosh, what a great inspiration. So those are two of her 10 tips for personal evangelization. If you like that, let us know. We might try to get a few more in an upcoming show. This is a show cobbled together with some different thoughts and different approaches to Lenten faith and to the year of faith. The news of the Holy Father this week has caused so much reaction from so many places. And dear Fergal O'Neill, our deacon candidate in Ireland, struggled to get this completed without becoming emotional. He said he had to do several takes to get it done. But here are some thoughts from Fergal O'Neill on the resignation of Holy Father Benedict.
"It is with deep emotion and with great gratitude to God that I, along with all our Catholic brothers and sisters, and indeed some of those of other denominations and other faiths, remain in prayer as we await the day when we will say farewell to our beloved Holy Father, Pope Benedict XVI. As one who has never known any other pope than his predecessor, John Paul II, I always feared that I could never fraternally love another pope the way I loved John Paul II. As a young man, he was my idol. He was the one I listened to. He was the one I aspired to copy. And if I had had Facebook back then, he would surely have been the one I would have followed. How short-lived that fear was. Almost from the moment Pope Benedict stepped out in the loggia, having been elected the 264th successor to St. Peter, I realized that my sentiments of love and affection were not invested in the cult of personality, but in the truth that he is Peter. And on that rock, Christ has built his church. Like the rest of you, I was quickly thrown into deep shock on hearing the news that the Holy Father had decided to retire from the Petrine ministry. And I greeted the news with nothing but tears. Selfish, I know, but it was a response of the heart. For I realized that we were losing someone who has been at the helm for what has been the most difficult moment in the history of the Catholic Church. We're losing one who brought such great wisdom, yet made it accessible to all, one who brought great grandfatherly love and affection and made it real to all, and one for whom I prayed and thought about many times over the past 8 years. Indeed, my body greeted this news as it greets the news of a death of a loved one. But we find ourselves in these days united together in prayer with Mary, the mother of Jesus, praying hard for him during this transitional phase, praying hard for those whose responsibility it is to pick the new pope, and praying hard indeed for the future of the church. In looking back over the past years, which seem to have come and gone only like the beat of a heart, we have much, much to be grateful to God in giving us Benedict XVI. So I will make this little reflection my own personal thank you to His Holiness for strengthening this weak soul and for being the rock that we all need during difficult times. We thank our Holy Father for his encyclical letter, Deus Caritas Est, in which he points out to Jesus' death on the cross as love in its most radical form. And we thank him for his second encyclical, Spes Salvi. In this document, the Holy Father traced the relationship between the Christian concept of hope and faith. And indeed, we thank him for his third and final encyclical, Caritas in Veritate. This encyclical argues that truth and love are essential elements of progressing towards dealing with problems of global development and the betterment of the common good. We thank our Holy Father for the trilogy he gave the Church on the life of Christ, and for all the scholarly writings which now become part of our Catholic heritage. We thank him for the massive efforts, publicly and privately, he has made towards reconciliation with those of different viewpoints and persuasions. We give thanks for all his apostolic voyages, a ministry that places him amongst those who are in need of a boost, in need of comfort, and in need of healing. We thank him for all the new venerables, the new blesseds, the new saints he has given to the Church. Indeed, as the world continues to grow darker, the only remedy is more light, and those gone before us marked with the sign of faith are indeed beacons of hope needed by us all. We thank him for the dignity he restored to our liturgies and for the care and attention he showed when serving Christ and bringing Christ to others both in word and in sacrament. We thank him. We thank him deeply. And at the same time, we thank God. The next few days will be difficult as shock turns to emotion. But let us turn our emotion into a prayer of hope and trust. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It is, after all, Christ's church, and the gates of hell, we are told, will never prevail against it. How do I finish this reflection? Well, let us leave that to St. Paul in his letter to the Hebrews, where he states, "Remember your leaders. They spoke God's word to you. Think about the results of their way of life and imitate their faith." In doing this, you will be animating our Holy Father's legacy, and you will ensure that all he has undertaken for the Church, he has not undertaken in vain. Once again, Holy Father, we thank you.
Hey, we got to wish Virgo a happy birthday.
Oh, that's right. That's right. You did that tender thing about Holy Father Benedict, but on the other side of the pond, somebody is turning, is he 30, 22,
25?
42. Oh, really? Really?
On Tuesday. Tuesday the 19th.
Happy birthday, Virgo. We love you from a distance, and we're looking forward so much to being with you and Mary and the family and all of your classmates as you are ordained a deacon on Pentecost, God willing.
That's going to be special for him, but it's going to be special for us too to be there.
Absolutely. I wonder if we'll be able to do a show either posting from there or put together a show from there.
Well, we could try, or at least maybe construct a couple interviews while we're there that we can segments that we can do when we come back.
That's a good idea. I wonder if we'll start talking different faith at Bicor now.
You might, I'm not.
Yeah, okay. All right. Let's see. I want to
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I wanted to say a few words about Ash Wednesday. The African priest in Missouri, I don't think we said anything about this at the beginning of the show. The African priest in Missouri at St. Joseph the Worker Parish is an outgoing, very expressive priest. And he put crosses on our foreheads with ashes that took
that
up,
you could see a mile away.
Yeah, that took up the whole forehead. And I have a funny story. I'm going to share this in a homily in March, but anybody that listens to Catholic Vitamins probably will not be in our parish when I preach the first weekend in March. But here's a true story. Dee and I left the church with these massive crosses on our forehead. And we went to the supermarket. The princess decided to stay in the car and fool with her iPod.
I play with my iPhone.
And I went into the store to get milk. I go back to the milk area, come up to the cashier's lane, and there were two cashiers talking together, and behind them was a couple, a husband and wife. The woman, one woman in my lane, the cashier, looked at me and she said, "Oh, I know what you're doing. I know what you're doing. What are you giving up?" And I said, "Being grouchy." And she immediately turned her head to the couple behind her, and she said to the guy, "You wouldn't make 40 days." That was so fun, and it happened so spontaneously. So I wanted to share that. And
yeah, anybody who's a friend of mine on Facebook can go to my Facebook page and see how big and black my cross was on my forehead.
Wow, wow. And one other thing just to mention very briefly, you know that we recently hosted Channing Dale from
This Catholic Life.
And from Pennsylvania, and she was here as our house guest. What a joy that was. And we had a mini interview with her either a show or two ago, and she's going to come back to Arizona. She loved
Arizona.
She loved it so much. I just wanted to mention that I wrote a column about Channing over on the Catholic Mom website, and if you're inclined to hear what I said about her, you'll know how deeply into our hearts Channing has moved, and I wanted to share that in the column. So go over to the CatholicMom.com website, look at the columnists, I think that's what Lisa Hendy calls it, and then find my most recent column. It's about Channing Dale.
Hey, can I do a reminder again?
Okay.
For iTunes. I'm not going to beg. People, I'm not going to beg you. I'm just going to ask nicely. If you haven't ever gone to iTunes and left a review or a rating for Catholic Vitamins podcast, please do. We need some new ones.
Okay. All right. Point made. And do you have anything else that you want to do?
We have a drawing to do for the CDs.
Oh, these are the Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs that dear friend Claudia Graham provided to us when she was a guest on our show. And so why don't we pull the names for the three CDs that we set aside.
Three CDs, so three names.
Here's the first one. And opening up, it is Alex Parenteau from Ottawa, Canada.
Great.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Great.
I think that's a new name for us, so I'm glad that we were able to help him.
Number two.
Mary Lewis, our dear friend in Arizona.
One more.
And this one is Julia Cutting in Washington.
Washington State, yeah. I don't think I have Julia. Well, actually, I don't have Alex's email either, so I've got to get a hold of them.
Let me mention these three CDs. The Seven Pillars of Catholic Spirituality with Matthew Kelly. And we've listened to that on another CD that we had, and it's a great talk. Why I'm a Catholic When I Could Be Anything Else by Patrick Madrid. It's a great talk. And Don't Just Try, Train by Matthew Kelly. Now, for you folks who did not win a CD from Lighthouse Catholic Media, you can go to their website, and there are, let's call them agent codes or representative codes, and I'd like to ask you to put in a /1603. 1603, that's the code for Claudia Graham, so that she can start a relationship of helping you, and maybe you can find a way to help bring these into your parish, these Lighthouse Catholic Media CDs. Thank you, Claudia, and thank you, Lighthouse Catholic Media. Dear, what else?
Bite a Scrabble for next time.
Mm.
It will be vitamin D, ends in E, six letters.
Oh, so it's not like D, like your name. It's vitamin D.
More letters in there than...
Okay, vitamin D, ends in E, and six letters.
Six letters long.
Do you have a vitamin it?
I do. I also want to say that we are going to do a drawing for Neil's book, A Body of Prayer, from our guest last time.
Oh, okay. All right.
And we are going to run that, we still have 2 more weeks. I think you said we were going to run it 3 weeks, so we have 2 more weeks.
Okay.
To go on that. So if you'd like a copy of Neil's book, A Body of Prayer, just do send us a message at catholicvitamins@gmail.com.
That's Neil Combs. He was our guest. So let's go to our Vitaminute.
This Lent should be the time to ask and answer one question. What has my life contributed to the immense spiritual battle being waged across the world today?
Oh, my heavens.
And those are words from Catherine Doherty of Mount Donahus.
What a great challenge for Lent. And, I mean, whether the topic is abortion or the poor or the HHS mandate or all of the challenges we face, the attacks against marriage, cobble together some new things that you can do this Lent to make your faith all the more active. We are blessed to have had our special guests, Sonia and Patty, and we thank our regulars, Mariana, Justin, and Fergal. And Dee, I'm looking forward to vitamin D next time we're together. Should be next weekend, God willing.
Bye.
From A to Z, Catholic Vitamins. Don't enter the race without them. See you next time.
This is Deacon Tom. Blessings. Prayer for the United States. God our Father, giver of life, we entrust the United States of America to your loving care. You are the rock on which this nation was founded. You alone are the true source of our cherished rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness.
Reclaim this land for your glory and dwell among your people. Send your spirit to touch the hearts of our nation's leaders. Open their minds to the great worth of human life and the responsibilities that accompany human freedom.
Remind your people that true happiness is rooted in seeking and doing your will through the intercession of
Mary Immaculate, patroness of our land. Grant us the courage to reject the culture of death. Lead us into a new millennium of life. We ask this through Christ our Lord. Amen.
To end our show, our friend Deacon Chuck Stevens from Canada, from Ontario, and here is a beautiful Lenten meditation piece, the Jesus Prayer.
Jesus. Mercy. Jesus, Lord.